Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, the blind able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have now been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for fear that they may collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to feed such a crowd?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets full. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The two major sets of coordinates for Advent are the triple meaning and the double dynamism. The triple meaning, first the double dynamism. Christ comes to us, but we're called to go out and meet him, not just stay where we are. And then second, Christ comes to us in 3 ways, and we're meant to go out toward each of these realities, toward Christ who is coming in this triple way. First, in history, in Bethlehem. Second, in mystery, in the sacraments and prayer and others. And lastly, in majesty, when he comes in the clouds of heaven, as we prepare to be ready so that we might go with him forever. So those are the coordinates of Advent. We see them all played out in today's readings. Double dynamism. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and then he walks up a mountain. Doesn't make it easy for people who want to follow him. They've got to hike. They've got to be able to make that exertion. Jesus gets their effort involved. We'll return to our effort in a second. Jesus walks through the dark valley to get there, as we heard in the responsorial psalm. Leads us through some difficult experiences. Some of us are afraid of the dark, but Jesus is guiding us there. And the people who are going to receive the threefold gift of the Lord follow him. Then, what do they receive? They receive a threefold banquet. Today's readings are all about the banquet that the Lord himself is going to set. It's first a banquet in this world. Jesus was born for a very appropriate reason in a place called Bethlehem, which literally means house of bread. And in the Gospel we see one of 2 miraculous multiplications of loaves and fish. The one that's more famous is the multiplication of the 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed a crowd of 5,000 men, not counting women and children, John 6. This is a feeding of 4,000 with 7 buns and a few fish. First one had 12 wicker baskets left over, this one had 7. Jesus was preparing a banquet for us even here. And that's what awaits. Of course, that miracle, as St. John describes all of Jesus' miracle, was a sign. A sign pointing to something else, an even greater miracle. That would first be the miracle of the Holy Eucharist, in which what would be prophesied by Isaiah in today's first reading, a rich banquet of choice food and the choicest wines. It's given to us in Jesus' body and blood. But even this great miracle is likewise a sign for the eternal wedding banquet, where, as we heard in the responsorial psalm, He's prepared a banquet for us, anointed our head, and is about to make our cup overflow. We go out to meet Jesus in these banquets. The banquet of life He seeks to give us here in this world, the banquet of supernatural life that we receive through the sacraments, and the banquet of eternal life He wants to have us feast with Him in forever. But how do we get there? There are two essential criteria that we see today. First is humility, and the second is charity. Let's start with the second. It's a little bit plainer. The only people who really ate the banquet there on the mountainside were the ones who had brought all the sick people, the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute. They were bringing all the sick to Jesus. And again, needing to bring Jesus, bring to Jesus their sick loved ones up a hill. They had that type of love for their loved ones and that type of faith in Jesus that they were willing to move their loved ones up a hill. Jesus again raised the bar for them. But through that charity, as they brought those who were needy to Jesus, they received far more than they were asking. Not only did Jesus cure the sick in a fulfillment of all the prophecies about what the Messiah would do, but they also received that incredible miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, which would point to the other two great banquets. It's the first thing, charity. Second would be humility. They didn't realize that as they were bringing the lame, as they were bringing the deformed, the mute, and the blind, that they themselves were in need like these physically handicapped people. Because so often we are spiritually mute. We never speak of the faith. We don't think we have the words. We're spiritually deformed, in need of being reformed. We're fallen out of shape. Oftentimes we're lame. We're not willing to hike up a mountain for Jesus. You know, I remember it's one of the saddest things I've ever encountered in my priesthood, having some conversations with some parishioners here who weren't in wheelchairs. But they just didn't want to come to the front of the church to receive Jesus. Even though they could. Even though they could walk to church, they just didn't want to come down a slope in order to be able to receive Jesus. What an unbelievable deformation and crippleness that is, that even a hunger for the Lord Jesus won't get them to make an exertion. If there's anything in life that should get us to make an exertion. I remember talking to one woman, and it's just like, ma'am, I don't mean to be insulting, but how do you get to your refrigerator in your home? Is it an even longer walk than you need to take in order to get to receive Jesus? And yet, you go to your fridge, but you can't come and receive Jesus. Jesus has us make an exertion, and it's worth the exertion. Even if we have to get down on our knees and our elbows and crawl up to receive Jesus, it is worth it. And a lot of the times we're spiritually crippled, far worse than any physical malady. Sometimes we're unable to see. We're unable to see here in this world or in the sacrament the fulfillment of those words from the prophet Isaiah. Behold the Lord to whom we look to save us. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the Lord for whom we looked, and He has saved us. We need that humility to recognize we need a Savior. It's only, as Mary tells us in the Magnificat, the hungry who will be fed by the Lord. It's only those who have the desire to make that spiritual exertion who will receive the salvation. Jesus does most of the work. He always initiates. He always comes down to meet us. But we're called to respond with a real effort. So as we approach this triple mystery today, we need to become smaller. We need to become humble. We need to see what malady strike our tongue, our eyes, our legs, and our arms, and other parts of our body, what in us is in need of reform. But then we also have to turn around to those around us and see not only their physical, but also their spiritual maladies, and bring them to the Lord. A lot of the times, we don't spread the faith. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation of last week, said, a lot of the times Christians, when they think about spreading the faith, just really think about spreading obligations, spreading burdens, getting other people in straitjackets, because that's the way they've experienced the faith. Francis says, it's not that at all. He says, when we spread the faith, we're doing three things. We're sharing our joy. The joy, behold the Lord who looks to save us. He's really done it and He's come here and saved us. The Lord who feeds us. The Lord who prepares an incredible banquet. And banquets are always fun. Second, points to a horizon of beauty. How beautiful our faith is. How beautiful the Lord is. And very relevant to today. And invites them to a banquet. That's what we do. Not just a banquet. Francis uses an adjective. To a delicious banquet. To a banquet that will fill us with delight. That's what we're called to do. And so if we're going to really receive those greater miracles, we need to look around us and find those who are handicapped physically and spiritually. We need to take them to a banquet here on earth. Jesus, in another part of the gospel, says, even to the banquet we throw at our own homes, to invite some people who are needy, not those who can repay us, but then to bring them here to Mass, bring them here to where the Lord will work. Today we're going to have such a great privilege with this miraculous traveling image of Our Lady of Częstochowa, who will be coming to our church to bring people to the Lord, who today, through the intercession of His beloved Mother, might work other miracles. But we've got to make the effort to climb the mountain to get people here. And then third, we need to invite them also to that exertion that it takes to make the celestial banquet. And the greatest way to do that is to accompany them when they are in their dark valley, that we, like the Good Shepherd who accompanies us, seeks to accompany them. Because as we accompany them, we're leading ourselves at the same time to that transformative encounter. I like to think that many of the people who received that incredible miracle on that mountainside would have never, ever seen Jesus, would have never received His lavish generosity unless they had enough compassion for those who are handicapped around them to make the effort to bring them there. Let us ask through St. John Damascene's intercession, who tried to do that for the whole church in the 7th century, for that same love to bring people to Jesus so that Jesus might fill our cup to overflowing and so that our eyes might behold the one to whom we always look to save us, who always fulfills that desire when we go out to meet Him in history and mystery and majesty. Praise be Jesus Christ.